Welcome, Merry Christmas Eve. Hey, it's pretty cool, huh? Being here in China on Christmas Eve, this is an honor and a privilege and a joy. Are y'all excited? For folks that have kids, are they excited? Yeah, they're excited. Hey, I have some Christmas memes. I got three Christmas memes for you this morning. One of them's a cute one for all you dog lovers out there. Oh, there it is. How true that is. When the Christmas decorations finally get up, oh, how happy it is, huh? And now I want to not leave out cat lovers. So I have a cat meme for you here related to Christmas here. And the last thing a Christmas ornament sees before it dies. You'll have cats. This is very true, by the way. Now, this last meme I'm going to share with you, this is an important one. This is for all the men out there, okay? All the men out there. If you haven't learned this, you will learn this. There's Prince Leia saying, "You don't have to give me anything for Christmas." Yeah. It's a trap! Yeah. Thank you for that mercy clap back there. Yes, every husband knows, it's a trap! So guys, like single guys out there, you're in college, you're not married yet, understand when women say, "Oh, you don't have to get anything for Christmas this year for me," it's a trap. The good thing is it is the day before Christmas. You still have time to get to the mall and get her a little something, like a Coach purse, something like that. She'll love a Coach purse. Trust my wife. Today we're talking about the Christmas story and wisdom and glean from the Christmas story, looking at the star and the wise men. And the first point we're looking at today is called God Gives a Star. We're looking at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Verses 1 through 3 reads this. It says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him." So who were these magi who came from the east? These magi came from the territory known as Babylon way back then, modern-day Iraq, and these were wise men. Now, some biblical commentaries say that these wise men were like sages, like elderly sages. Some commentaries say magi were actually princes in training. But they saw a star that they knew was super special, and they knew that the new coming ruler of the Jews was born. And they didn't just mail something. They took themselves on this gigantic journey to see the new king. How do they know about this coming king? It was from a star. And some might think, well, how do they know from their wise sayings and their history, how they know about this possible coming Messiah? Well, 600 years earlier, 600 BC, Jews from the land of Judah, which is Jerusalem, includes Jerusalem, were exiled to Babylon. And so all the remaining Jews are exiled to Babylon, and they stay there for 70 years. Now, when they're there, they would share their Old Testament, what they had in the Old Testament then. And these wise men must have picked it up and read it and learned from it. They studied from it. These were wise men. And there is two passages talking about this coming ruler of Israel. First one comes from a prophet named Balaam. And here it is. This is quite an introduction he gives. He says, "Then he spoke his message, the prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophecy of one whose eye sees clearly, the prophecy of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, and whose eyes are opened." That's quite an introduction, isn't it? Now, what does he say here? He says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rule out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab." of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth. Edom will be conquered. Seir's enemy will be conquered. But Israel will grow strong. A ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. That's a pretty big prophecy. A star is going to rise, and this star announces this great new scepter that comes out of Israel, and this ruler is going to crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of the people of Sheth and Edom and Seir, and yeah, he's going to conquer. Combine this passage also with the passage out of Genesis 49, verse 9 and 10, which says, "You are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his." There will indeed be a scepter that will rise out of the nation of Judah. A scepter will be in his hand, and he will not just crush Moab and Seir and the other enemies of Israel. It says the obedience of the nations shall be his. This is a pretty big ruler coming up. These are wise men, and they were like, you know what? Let's make nice with the new ruler over this area of the world. So the wise men started in Babylon. You see the map up there with the Babylon, the red. They had to travel northwest and then west and then down south into Israel. They could not travel directly west. That desert there is too big to cross with camels. A camel can go about 100 miles, 150 kilometers per day, per tank of water, if you will. That's 400 kilometers wide. You can't pass that. So these men, I mean, I don't know how long it would take to do that kind of travel, but that's a long ways. And these are wise men. They know there are raiders. They know people will look at them to rob them. They were wise. Probably, doesn't say here, but probably they had a caravan with them, some soldiers. And when they arrived, they wanted to see the new ruler. They wanted to see the new king. And when they went to King Herod and the royal court, all of Jerusalem was disturbed. This took Herod by surprise. This took all the religious leaders by surprise. They didn't notice a star that arose above them because Jews weren't allowed to worship stars. They weren't allowed to do astrology. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 19, it says, "And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has appointed to all the nations under heaven." So the Jews, they didn't study the stars like these wise men did. And they probably didn't notice that a very unusual astronomical event was occurring right in their backyard. And these wise men, they showed up and they were like, "We saw the star. God used a natural star to guide," or maybe even a supernatural star, "to guide these wise men." And at times, God will give you and me a star. He'll even use natural means to guide us. I remember once a time in Kauai, had a friend of mine named Jason, and he was really into metal detectors. So he would he'd have a big long stick with a big circular thing on the bottom of it and a box on top of it, and it wave it back and forth looking for precious metals, particularly gold rings on the surf in Kauai. Now on Kauai, the people come on vacation, they forget about the rings, their fingers, they get smaller, the rings fall off of the water, and they lose very expensive rings. He was at the beach one day, saw a husband and wife frantically looking in knee deep water, and he realized they probably lost a ring. Went over, asked them about it, and they said, "Yeah, my wife lost her ring." And so he's like, "Hey, no worries. I have a metal detector in the back of my car." So he goes to get the metal detector, and he comes back out. He's like, "Yeah, this is great." So he's all excited. He sits it all up, and he starts waving this thing back and forth, trying to find the ring, and he couldn't find it. After 10 minutes, couldn't find it. After 20 minutes, couldn't find it. 30 minutes, couldn't find it. The battery died on his unit. And it was like, And the husband and wife are just like going, oh, I can't believe this, lost our wedding ring. And Jason says, he's just sitting in the water, and all of a sudden he sees this little blue tang fish come up to him. A blue tang is Dora on Finding Nemo, a little blue guy, about this big. The little fish comes up and looks at him and goes, and then slips a little bit, then comes back, looks at Jason and goes, and then slips a little bit, and he's like, what? Like, am I seeing this right? Like, is this little fish want me to follow him? And so he takes like two steps toward the fish, and the fish goes another meter away, and then turns around. He's like, this is crazy. Like, what am I doing? Like, well, I guess so. And he follows it. He said about 3 or 4 meters from where they're looking, and looks down at this little fish. All of a sudden, he sees this little flash of gold. He's like, what? Reached down there, picked it up, and there was a wedding ring. He's like, no way, no way. This is crazy. This is crazy. Sometimes God will use even natural occurrences to guide us. And when we're tuned in with the Lord, we can get tuned in to how the Lord chooses to guide us. I have a question for you, two questions here. What star has God put before you to point you to Jesus? And if you here have like a star, like right now, a star in your life, it may not be a person, maybe something else that's pointing you to Jesus. Or another question is, are you a star pointing someone else to Jesus? It's a good thing to think about during Christmas. Are we a star pointing people to Jesus? So in review, God gives a star. Point two from this Christmas story is seek wise counsel. The story continues, verses 4-8. When Herod, had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. The king of Israel at that time did not know his Old Testament prophecies. And some may think that's real. That was a terrible king. But it's a I kind of understand it in a minor sense. The last national prophet who was speaking God's words over the nation was the prophet Malachi. And he lived between 400 and 350 BC, roughly in those areas. Israel did not have a national prophet where God was speaking through a prophet to the nation of Israel for over 350 years. And so I can imagine that many of the rulers, the royal court, they kind of forgot about prophecy. They kind of forgot about this is one of the great ways that God speaks to the nation. And he didn't know the answer. And so the religious leaders had to tell him, oh, this is in Bethlehem. That's where the new Messiah is going to be born. And so he tells the Magi, go out there and find the baby and bring back word to me. But notice the wise men. These are wise men. They came searching. They traveled 1,000 kilometers. I don't know how long it is. It's a long journey, many months. And they get to Jerusalem. And what's the first thing to do? They went and sought wise counsel. They went to the royal court and say, hey, where's the Messiah? Where's his baby? And if not there, where can we honor him? Where can we give gifts to him? It's kind of a shame it's providential that the king and the religious leaders, none of them really paid attention to the wise men. They must have thought they were kind of crazy because they missed the wise men and what they had to say right there and then. They missed the star, though they weren't looking for the star, but they could certainly see the star that night. They also missed the prophecy. No one from the royal court decided to take the 5-mile journey south to Bethlehem. That's 8 kilometers. I know a bunch of you here, you've walked more than 8 kilometers just yesterday. That's a 1 hour horse trot to Bethlehem. And it's downhill. It's not a, they didn't go. I don't know why. They just didn't heed the wise men. And that's part of God's providence. But nonetheless, it is wise for us to seek wise counsel. If you don't know, we just ask. Like my wife and myself, when we came to Suzhou half a year ago, we didn't know where to live. And then Nathan and some of the other elders were like, hey, try this real estate person out. The guy's named Jason. The guy is awesome, all right? He found us a great place and took us all over, took us to a whole bunch of places. He spoke great English, did the whole contract stuff super clear. He's come over to the house a bunch of times to fix things. This guy's a gem. If you all need a real estate person, talk to me. I'll hook you up. This guy's great. But it's just great to have wise counsel. So they come considering the Christmas story about the wise and following the star. One, God gives a star. Two, seek wise counsel. And three, delight in God's sign. The story continues, verses 9 through 12. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening the treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So these wise men, when they saw the star rise again that night, they're like, we're on our way to Bethlehem. They were excited. They were great. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That Greek word exceedingly is sephoros. And sephoros in Greek means excessive or violent. They were like violently joyful. They were like throwing like fist pumps in the air. They were like, and it says, not only were they exceedingly joyful, it says rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. The word great there is megas in Greek. That means huge. It means like Megatron and megaphone. They rejoiced greatly. It reminds me of when Argentina won the World Cup last year, the 2022 World Cup, for the first time in 44 years. And you guys ever see the pictures of the party that was going on in Buenos Aires? 5 million people crowded the cities. It was mayhem. People were screaming with joy. And that's kind of the picture you have of these wise men. It wasn't polite. It wasn't discreet. They were exceedingly joyful when they saw the star. When they saw the star. What was it about this star? I'll go back to verse 19. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. What was it about this star? Now, people have different ideas what it might be. They noticed here in 5 BC, there was a comet that went over that part of the country, or that part of the world. Maybe what they saw was a comet. Chinese astronomers record this. They called it a broom star. You can imagine kind of why they call it a broom star, kind of fans out there. Not too sure what it was. Astronomers nowadays, they can backtrack the patterns of the stars and the planets around Earth. They can backtrack 10,000 years and can tell you exactly what the night sky looked like from any vantage point on the world using computers. It is no problem. And they find between 3 and 2 BC, that's December, that's the 3 BC, December 3 BC, they noticed that, and looking at the planets and such, they found that Jupiter and Venus were right on top of each other, making one giant star. And the place in the sky was directly south of Jerusalem over Bethlehem. Did the wise men see Jupiter and Venus? Was that the star of Bethlehem? do not know. It could have been an angel. It could have been an angel sat there and it's like, you know, like it like turn himself on, like on, like just beam with joy and beam with light. We don't know. But these wise men rejoiced exceedingly when they saw the sign. And when they finally got to where the child was with Mary, they gave gifts. And they gave wonderful gifts. They gave gifts of gold. Gold's nice. If you're all thinking, maybe get me something for Christmas this year, you know, there's a big gold bars now at Costco. Gold is nice, right? What does gold represent spiritually? Well, it represents, you know, wealth. It represents power. It represents favor. It represents a lot of great things. They also gave him frankincense. Frankincense is a type of incense that was important to the Jews, particularly in the proper worship of God in the temple. Incense is also known in the scriptures, repeated many times in scriptures, referencing prayers of the saints. I read one verse out of Revelation 5, verse 8, and it reads, "And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people." So these wise men gave gifts symbolizing power and wealth, symbolizing prayers and honesty and truthfulness before a holy God. The last one they gave was myrrh. Now, myrrh is an interesting substance. It's harvested from a tree in the Babylon area, where they take a knife and they would hit the little trunk of the tree and the branches, and they would rake that knife down, and the tree would bleed, and it bleed a dark brown reddish resin, and they would cut that off and they would use it. That was the myrrh, and myrrh was used as an antiseptic. They would put it in water and make a healing balm. So people cut themselves, they would wipe myrrh on their cuts and it would heal much faster. Also, myrrh was very valuable to the Egyptians, used for mummification. So why do you think the wise men gave Jesus like healing balm, resin for making healing balm? I'm not sure, but it sure sounds interesting that the Lord would choose to honor God the Father would choose to honor his son by giving him healing balm. For he knows that his son would be destined for the healing of nations. And not only the healing of nations, but also the healing of each and every one of us. God does care. He does see us. I like this Psalm 58 verse, this verse out of Psalm 56 verse 8. And it reads, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." God knows exactly where you're at. And some of you right now are experiencing something that's very, very difficult. And God, he's in sovereign control of every step that we have in our lives. And he knows the outcome. He's going to guide you. You're not going to miss it. When the wise men came to honor Jesus with gifts, they wanted to honor him with gifts that represented, power and wealth and prayers and also healing. It's also interesting to note that these gifts were very valuable to Joseph and Mary, that when they went to Egypt, how is Joseph going to make money? You know, the Egyptians, they don't like the Jews very much. And here he comes to Jesus, but now he's got this, you know, this all this stuff with him that's valuable. It's kind of neat how God provides for them. It reminds me of a Christmas play I read about. And this is funny, actually. A mom has four children, and I'm just going to read the story to you. It's really funny. It says, "My daughter was plain Mary. Two of my sons were shepherds, and my youngest son was a wise man. This was their moment to shine. My five-year-old shepherd had practiced his line. We found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. But he was nervous and said, the baby was wrapped in wrinkled clothes. My four-year-old, playing the part of Mary, said, that's not wrinkled clothes, it's dirty, rotten clothes. A wrestling match broke out between Mary and the shepherd and was stopped by an angel who bent her halo and lost her left wing. Finally, my other son stepped forward wearing a bathrobe and a paper crown, knelt at the manger and announced, "We are the three kings of the three wise men, and we're bringing you gifts of gold, common sense, and fur." The congregation dissolved into laughter, and the pageant got a standing ovation. "I've never enjoyed a Christmas program as much as this one," laughed the preacher, wiping tears from his eyes. "For the rest of my life, I'll never hear the Christmas story without thinking of gold, common sense, and fur." I don't know. Would you want gold, frankincense, and myrrh, or would you rather have gold, common sense, and fur? My wife says she wants me to have more common sense, and she'll take the fur. But you know, that's just us. That's just us. That might not be you. These wise men came to honor Jesus with very special gifts, and these gifts represented who Christ is in our lives. And in the thinking about the star and the wise men seeking the star, I can't help but thinking that maybe we're called to be a star for someone this Christmas or this Christmas season. Who are we called to maybe attract someone to the light that's inside of us? Like, obviously, the story of maybe sharing Christ with someone is a great example of leading someone to understand the truth and the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus. But so also is, if you have like a coworker who's going through a really hard time, or a classmate who's going through a real hard time, bake them cookies and put a little note there saying, "I'm praying for you. I'm standing with you." And just be that star, be that light, be that witness. And they'll be curious about you. They'll never forget it, that's for sure. They'll want to talk to you about Jesus, I believe, at some point. The funny thing about stars is you don't really notice them unless you're looking for them. I'm not sure if you all know this, but Jupiter is about 7 o'clock is almost dead above us, the planet Jupiter. And you can see it. You'll see it tonight. Like, you don't know it's there if you're not looking for it. And I think that's also true in many of our lives. We're shining as stars for people around us, and sometimes they don't notice that. But we do acts of kindness and acts of reaching out to people prayerfully and respectfully, they'll see us. They'll start noticing that. And they'll be drawn to the hope that lies within you. I'm reminded of the story of Jackie Pullinger, who started this amazing ministry in Hong Kong in Kowloon Walled City back in the late 60s up till it closed. The city was finally dismantled in 95. Kowloon Walled City was the most concentrated, like, packed per square mile, if you will, number of people per square mile, most condensed city in the world by far. They had 50,000 people living in a relatively small square that was ungoverned by the British police. So there was lots of bad things that happened there. And Jackie Pullinger felt a call by the Lord to go to the city and be salt and light. She didn't have any like grand plan. She got there and she was like, "I don't know what to do." And she just started ministering to drug addicts. And a couple of them came to Christ. And then she started a little youth group in the city itself. And it just, things slowly grew. It's very hard for her the first many years. And she said after 4 years, one of the crime bosses in that city, they're called triads, one of the triad leaders, actually it was the triad leader for the whole city, came to her and said, "We've been watching you for 4 years. And we're convinced that you actually care about us and that you love us." Because I'll tell you what, I will allow all the men who made oaths, they made oaths to the triads, I will release them from their oath when they're on drugs to you. Like, that's like never heard of at that time. She couldn't believe it. And her ministry became increasingly stronger and more beautiful. And just amazing things. And she wasn't this grand preacher. She wasn't this grand teacher. She was just being a light wherever she could. She would visit people in the hospital. She would go to the courthouses for all the people that are involved in criminal activity and trying to represent Christ and lead them to being honest and truthful. And she had an amazing ministry, so much so that Hong Kong eventually gave her her own property and said, we see the work you do, and it's so amazing. We don't want to lose you. And it all started with a woman in a drug-infested triad zone of a lot of bad stuff. And she just shined like Jesus. And that place was changed. This Christmas, let's be wise men. Let's seek Jesus. And this Christmas, let's also be a star to others to help them seek Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I want to say thank you so much that you are holy. You're holy. Thank you that you came 2,000 years ago because you care. And thank you, Lord, we get the privilege of sitting here in a beautiful church building in China. Thank you, Lord, honoring your name. I pray this Christmas, Lord, we would be so excited about you. Lord, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our trespasses. Forgive us for the ways that we stiff arm you, Lord. We bow ourselves to you like the wise men. We worship you. And we bring gifts to you, Lord Jesus, the gifts of our heart. Thank you so much that you came in the form of a baby 2,000 years ago, Lord, because you care. This Christmas, Lord, help us to be a star to the wonderful people that are around us. And I pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.